Hey, aloha, Mark J, coming to you from beautiful Kauai, Hawaii, and we're going to go over the number one skill today to be effective both in recruiting and in building teams. Look, everybody says it's all about relationships, and early in my career, I'd hear that over and over and over, and I knew it was true, and I'd move to the edge of my seat, hopeful each time that I'd learn something about how to improve relationships. And after every speaker said it's all about relationships, again and again and again, after those words, I would hear nothing. Really, nothing. So I knew I had to improve them, but I didn't know how. So if it's all about relationships, and it really is, how exactly do I improve them? I mean, let's face it. Some people we talk to, we know really well. We know that they really could use the product, or they could use the money. For sure they could use the money. And we know what we have will work for them, both the product and the money. But they say no. Why do they say no? I mean, really, have you had that experience where you knew like your cousin could really use the product that you have, or your friend Harry really needed extra money, and they say no? You know, have you had that experience and wondered, why are they saying no to me? Well, years of frustration ended for me once I discovered the answer. It's simple. They simply don't understand what you're saying. It's literally a foreign language. While it's true that relationships matter immensely, it's equally true that communication is what makes or breaks a relationship. I want you to imagine something. Imagine you've been invited to speak to the top 10 prospects in the world. You've heard about these 10 people that are with a company and they're thinking about your company. They're looking to join, but they're in Germany and you're so excited. So you get on a plane and you fly over and you get with them and you're making this incredible presentation. You practiced, there's beads of perspiration flying from your forehead. You're perfectly enthusiastic, not too much, just perfect. And in short, it's the best presentation you've ever given. Maybe imagine it's the best presentation that's ever been given to a group of network marketers. And when you're all done, nothing. And you discover that no one in the room speaks English. Well, this is exactly what was happening to me in the early 90s. And it was a repeat of several failures that I had in MLM in the 80s. I just wasn't talking the language, and it might seem like an exaggeration, but it isn't. You see, they're not rejecting you. They simply do not understand what you're saying. But when you're not experiencing success, it sure feels like rejection. Isn't that true? And it sure feels discouraging when people do join, and then you're trying to share with them what to do, and they just don't do it. It's all about the reality that the language that you're using is just not either reaching their head or touching their heart. Look, if you're listening to this, you're a leader. So I want to define leadership. It's probably the most overrated thing in all of network marketing. Leaders are professional students, and real pros continue to be students. You study, you practice, and you apply. You don't need to be larger than life, charismatic, on stage, high pin level, or a great speaker to lead. If you know the truth, and you can share that truth effectively, in other words, communicate effectively, you're a leader. People will follow you when they understand you. Believe me, this is so simple. Anyone can learn it and share it effectively in less than 30 minutes. And quite candidly, it's not only profitable, it's a lot of fun. To be a true leader, you simply know, you need to know the truth. And once you do, you'll effectively lead and get people off to a fast start. So let's get honest about a couple of MLM myths so you're not teaching the wrong things. Let's talk about the myth of goals and the myth of a positive mental attitude. They create an mental environment for you to put your motive in action, but goals and attitude won't build your business. Skills do. Goals are the focal point and their reason to build the business, and attitude keeps you in the game when things aren't going perfectly, but goals and attitude won't build your business. I want you to imagine a football player. He gets on the field and he's on the left side and they run a play, and he's playing defense, and the whole team runs over him. Okay, he's got, you know, dirt on his helmet and his jersey and clumps of hair in there, and the coach runs out and says, "You gotta have goals. You really need goals. You really don't want this bad enough. You've gotta want it really bad." So they line back up. They snap the ball again. They run the same play. And our football player gets trampled again. And the coach runs out on the field and says, "You need a positive mental attitude. You can't make it without a positive mental attitude." So they run the same play again. And, of course, he gets trampled again. Okay. Of course, he'd feel better about himself because he's got a positive mental attitude, but he really isn't learning what to do on the football field. Now, this same coach or different coach comes out and says, "Listen, when you see the guy go to his left, you need to step into the right." They run the same play. He steps into the right. He avoids getting hit. He tackles the ball carrier. What's the difference in the first two examples? The goals and attitude. Didn't make him a better football player. What made him a better football player was skills. If we're going to make some money, we need to learn some skills. As I said earlier, in the late 80s, I failed four or five times in network marketing, but it wasn't until the 90s that I realized that I just simply didn't have the skills. Look at, you know, imagine two distributors, Al and Nancy. And Nancy's cashing huge checks. Al's not cashing any checks at all. And I want you to imagine there's probably two people like this in your organization. Probably several, as a matter of fact. You know, they enrolled at the same time. They got the same comp plan, same product, same sites, same tools, same upline, sponsored by the same person, same day, same hygiene. One's cashing big checks. One's not cashing any checks at all. What's the difference? Skills. If we're going to make some money, we need to learn some skills. And the number one skill is identifying what the language is that you need to speak so your message either touches their heart or reaches their head. Remember the analogy I gave you about Germany? It's really the same thing. If people don't understand what you're saying, well, it doesn't matter what you have. If they do understand what you're saying, they're going to be ready to buy and ready to join. See, once you know the language of the prospect, which is really the same language as a distributor. You need to know it's not two different languages, right? Prospects that become distributors of yours, which is the goal. Obviously, once you know how to talk to that particular personality type, well, you're going to be more effective. You'll know exactly what to say, and they'll respond once you know the language positively, because what? They understand what you're saying, unlike our German guests, okay, that didn't speak any English at all. And equally important, if not even more important, is communicating effectively with reps that join your team. If they don't understand you, they're going to fail. So I'm going to break these down really quickly for you. This is sort of a brief overview, a little relaxed, and I'm going to exaggerate or hyperbolize. Hyperbolize means exaggerate to create an effect. So there'll be dramatic exaggerations here, but you'll remember this. And once you know the language they speak, they'll understand. So if they need the product or the money or both, they will hear you, they'll understand you, and they'll be ready to buy and ready to join. Bottom line is, we need skills. No question about it. The number one skill is the same thing that's going to solve. It's all about relationships, right? You can know it's all about relationships, but if you don't know how to enrich them, we're roadkill. So the number one skill, again, learning the language for prospects and distributors so we're speaking their language. Let's remember that some of those prospects are going to join your team. So you're really getting a two-for-one hit here. How to prospect better, and more importantly, because the big money is in coaching, how to coach better. Now, I began using profiles to improve myself, my prospecting, coaching, back in the early 90s. And I got to tell you, it changed everything. Several years ago, I discovered color code and what was outstanding communication with my teammates. It just went to a whole new level. It got so much better. So make sure you get to lazynetworkercolorcode.com. Again, lazy, just the way it's normally spelled, L-A-Z-Y, networker, colorcode.com, after this audio, and take the quick test over there so you can be a great communicator. Now, inside Go 90 Grow, we'll be teaching a lot more detail. This is just to give you a quick snapshot overview. You'll be more effective right away, but it'll improve all your relationships if you apply it, because it will improve your communication with everybody, prospects, reps, husbands, wives, kids, everyone. Now, before we begin with blues here, this is how this is going to go. I'm going to give you the general exaggerated version and then give you six characteristics of each type, and we'll do that for all four types. So the first of the four types, there's four parts to the brain, so there's four basic personality types. The first one we want to talk about are blues. They're absolutely wonderful. They're supportive by nature. They have a missionary spirit. They actually often will do more for others than they'll do for themselves. Just a generalization, you'll find them in these types of professions: nurses, teachers, full-time moms who really love it. You know, there's some moms, all moms are great, but there's some moms that all the kids in the neighborhood are over there and they're almost depressed when some of them go home. Bottom line is, blues love helping other people. They love helping people do better. Blues at a meeting is fantastic, okay? Because they're going to help set the meeting up. They're going to make sure everybody's comfortable. They have, like I said, that missionary spirit. But blues, if they're at a meeting together, for example, and it's 10:30 and lunch is at 11:30 and they're trying to figure out where to go to lunch, well, blues aren't very decisive. So it can be a little bit of a problem. Where do you want to go to lunch? Oh, I don't care, wherever you want to go, Sally. Well, I don't know, Harry, where do you want to go? If you got four blues in a room, they'll be in there until the sun sets. It's like, well, I saw this new pizza place and it looks really nice and no one was coming in there. So maybe we could all go over there and help him get a little bit more business. Yeah, but isn't Jack on a no carb diet? Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot all about that. It was so insensitive to me. And this will go on and on and on. They just can't make a decision because they want to please everybody else. Now, what's really important about that is blues are not all about the money. So if you're approaching people all about money, 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 blues aren't really interested in money. They're interested in intimacy. They're interested in relationships, okay? So they're not interested so much in the business at first, but they'll be interested in helping other people with the product and helping other people pay less in taxes. So this is how you're going to frame things with blues who aren't money motivated. And again, inside Go 90 Grow, we need your complete training on this. You're going to love it. But this will give you a general idea, and then we'll give you some approaches for these people so you do better right away. Now, most people who know blues think they're really nice. Why is that important? Well, it means it's much easier for blues when you call with them to get people to take a look, because people think blues are really nice. In other words, they have high credibility with others, okay? Because they're integrity driven. They really are wonderful people. They like missions that are important to others. They'll help out at meetings. They'll show up early, like I said. They'll ask, is there anything else I can do to help set up the meeting? Blues are extremely well organized, extremely well organized. So you can give them a list of five or six things to do, and you can let them know it's really going to help the team. And believe me, they'll get it done, and they'll ask if there's anything else they can do. Just wonderful, wonderful teammates. So I'm going to give you six characteristics on each one of the colors. Let's start with blues. And this is why blues are great leaders. The strength of a blue is service and listening. They will listen, so you darn well better learn how to speak in their language. And this is why they're great leaders. Their weakness, kind of touched on it a little bit humorously, is indecision. And they can be oversensitive, so keep it soft. So reds, who are very blunt, can really alienate a blue if they don't know the language of the prospect distributor, okay? Their goals are acceptance and stability. Very important that it's stable. So when you're talking to a blue, you want to really pace out what you're doing and dialogue with them. Generally, when you get on the phone with a blue who's a distributor, you need to allot an extra 2 or 3 minutes. They want to talk about your family. They'll remember your kids' names, and they want to converse a little bit, okay? And that can drive a red crazy, okay? Yellows, they don't pay attention. We'll get to all that in a minute, right? So anyway, basically what you have with blues, therefore, is their fear. So their strengths are service, weaknesses, indecision. Their goals are acceptance and stability. So you want to keep reassuring them that, you know, the company's doing well, they're doing well, and they're really valued on the team. Their biggest fear, sudden change, okay? So you need to soften change when you're talking to blues. Their motivator, involvement. They love being involved. They don't necessarily want to be on stage, but if you can get them involved and give them a role that's going to help everybody, man, do they love that. And their irritation is insensitivity. Now, this is really important. If you're with a blue, you want to make piercing eye contact when you're with them. I don't mean you want to glare at them. You want to look at their eyes. And one of the things that I always tell people is when you're looking someone in the eyes, pick one eye, okay, and look at that one eye. Because if you shift back and forth from eye to eye, you look shifty, okay? So the irritation is insensitivity. So people that are blunt or not warm and fuzzy, whites and reds are not particularly warm and fuzzy people when they're doing business. And obviously this can irritate a blue. And then when the red or the white sort of gets a little demanding, which they can do, because they're all about making progress, is fundamentally the blue is going to feel criticized. They need time to make decisions. So again, let's review the blue: strength, service, and listening. Weakness, indecision and insensitivity. Okay, I'm sorry, oversensitivity. Okay. Goals are acceptance and stability. Fear, sudden change. Motivator, involvement. Get them involved. And irritation is insensitivity. So listen carefully. Let's move on to yellows. We're going to skip occupation generalization for yellows. We're going to just describe all of it in one word. It's a party, man. They love having fun. They love adventure. They love to travel. Mostly yellows love meeting new people. They're a great asset on your team. They're salespeople who love selling. Most salespeople don't even want to sell. They're only in sales temporarily until they get a better job. Yellows never stop talking. They love to talk. They're always talking. I'll never forget, I was in a movie theater, and about 6 people in front of us, a couple of kids, and one of them's talking on the phone, on his cell phone, and the screen is showing, please turn off your cell phones. It was kind of a little cartoony. And this yellow in front of me is actually describing to the person that he's talking to this funny screen that's telling him to shut off the cell phone, but of course, he just kept talking, okay? Yellows are trendy, popular. They're the life of the party. I'm sure you know a few yellows. They're actually the easiest ones to identify. They change subjects like the weather changes in New England every 30 seconds, for crying out loud. Reps that are yellow call you and they'll say, hey, do you have time for a quick question? And they'll say, and you'll say, yeah, let me tell you something. It's about 20 minutes before they get to the question. Well, listen, it might go something like this. I was on my way over to my sister's house. I pulled into a 7-Eleven. Guy's in there, his name was Rick. I had an uncle named Rick. Michael Rick lives in Cleveland. And did you know the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in Cleveland? Do we have any people in Cleveland? I think it would be really cool because I know it's not that far to Canton, which is where the Football Hall of Fame is. Now, you're a Red Sox fan, right? Yeah, okay, so maybe we could catch Cleveland, do a business meeting there, and catch the Red Sox in Cleveland. Don't they play in both of those cities at the same time? You know, go from Cleveland to Detroit. That's not that far from Toronto. I heard Canada's really cool. Anyway, so I'm talking to this kid Rick in the 7-Eleven. That's how yellows are. They're just on to the next thing, on to the next thing. It's fantastic, which is great because they'll talk to anybody. They don't have a chicken list. They don't know what a chicken list is. No compunction at all to talking to anybody. However, they rarely book the follow-ups. They'll talk to a lot of people, but they won't set specific follow-up appointment. So you need to support yellows there. If you find a yellow who goes for it, you need to help them improve. And you need to be sort of like a support system for them. This is how you get the most out of the yellow. They'll talk to a lot of people, but they have struggles getting people started right because they're talking about 10 or 20 different things, okay, instead of just one or two basic steps. Yellows say things that slip are situational, but it's not true. So you need to help them break the denial. In other words, they'll say, hey, I thought you had an appointment with so-and-so today at 1 o'clock. Oh yeah, but see, something came up. The plumber came over to my house. We got into a conversation and we had to go to the plumbing supply store. In other words, they're going to use situations as excuses for not being on time. They're late a lot. And so you need to really help them that way. But man, they know everybody. And people just enjoy yellows because they like having fun. And like I said, they'll struggle with organizational skills, but here's the key with a yellow. They'll talk to 10 people while most people are still making plans to talk to one. They don't listen because they're always talking and telling, you know, you what they're doing, where they were, where they're going. And that's more important often than what they need to do. So they lack consistency in the key tasks. And when I found this out about yellows, what you want to do with your reps is understand that you got a real home run here. So you're going to support them. You're going to help them improve their organizational skills. And when they bring people in, you treat those people as if you personally sponsored them so they get off to a really fast start. So let's talk about the 6 characteristics in a yellow that you can be looking for. Their strengths, their persuasion, and interacting with others. And this is what makes them great leaders. They're enthusiastic. Their weakness, we've already sort of been over it in detail, but they're disorganized. They can actually be careless to a certain degree. Their goals, man, they love popularity and applause. On the other hand, their fear is loss of prestige. Motivation is recognition. Now, they don't need to win. They don't need to win the contest. They just need to be recognized as someone that participated in it. And so that's really important to them is recognition. It gives them a little status. They get on stage. They get applause. Very easy to motivate them. And their irritation is routine, which is why it's great in network marketing because things change all the time. Difficult for a blue, very easy for a yellow. You're starting to see some of the differences here, and as you start to grow your group, how you need to talk to people differently. Again, get to lazynetworkercolorcode.com, get your color, and get your teammates' color, and the communication will instantly improve. If you get into the trainings inside Go 90 Grow, it'll improve dramatically. So let's talk about that routine thing. See, the nice thing about network marketing is we set our own schedules. So with yellows, what you want to say is, listen, we needed to be disciplined 90 minutes, an hour and a half a day, the other 22 and a half, you can do whatever you want. What do you enjoy doing best? Let's do the work. Let's work hard for an hour, and then let's play hard. Really simple, because in the way you want to tilt this a little bit, say, let's work hard, and then we'll play hard. Because if we just put in 60 to 90 minutes a day, that big Saturday seminar that comes up, you'll be on stage, and you'll get lots of applause. And, you know, you need to be on stage. You're so good with people, okay? And, of course, if we don't do our job, well, then we're just sitting in the audience and people are going to wonder why, gee, Harry was on stage last month, but you're not this month. And there's the leveraging the fear of loss of prestige. All right, let's move on to a brief snapshot of Reds. Reds, man, they're going to be in charge no matter what. They don't just like telling other people what to do. They love it. They're the bosses. They are great organizers in thought. They think systemically. They think big picture. Reds are going to make the most money for people in your organization and for themselves. So the generalization about occupation with Reds, you'll see them as managers, bosses, politicians, foremen, and so forth. Reds are all about the bottom line. They're all about the money. They're all about the return on investment for anything that they invest either their time or money in. Again, we're exaggerating to create an effect here. What Reds really want is to make progress. So let's say you're going to a ball game and you were going to get the tickets. Maybe something interesting happened in getting the seats. Okay, and you want to tell them that story, right? So you call them up, hey, listen, I went to pick up the tickets at State Line Tickets so we can get out and see the Red Sox on Saturday, and something really interesting happened. What the Reds thinking is, did you get the tickets? How much did they cost? That's how Reds think. They just want the bottom line. Again, it's ROI thinking for Reds always. What's the return on investment here? Donald Trump, he's a Red through and through. Bill Gates, Red through and through. Now, while their personalities are very different, right? Gates kind of doesn't really care about being in the public eye. Trump loves it. And so they can appear to be very different, but there's no question that they are in charge. Now, like yellows, they don't listen, but it's for a different reason. You know, yellows are just too busy having fun. Again, we're exaggerating, but you get the, so these stick in your mind. But the reality is they don't listen because they know everything. They're know-it-alls, okay? They want to do it their way. Unlike yellows, they will find out what needs to be done, okay, and they'll get it done. They'll do it, okay. They don't listen, like I said, because they know everything. Now, Reds generally have a pretty good idea. They're the ones that make things happen. Again, they're going to make the most money for themselves and others. All Reds, on the other hand, think that they're Blues. They all think that they're the, you know, it, you'll hear this from Reds all the time. If people would just do what I tell them to do, it would be better for everybody. Well, what that really means, it would be better for me. People that don't get on the same page with a Red, they annoy a Red. So you can see why bringing a Red onto your team, it might be, oh, if Reds are going to make the most money for themselves and others, we should just go get Reds. It's not true. You need all four colors, all four. You know, your team is going to be a rainbow coalition. All four types are great because while Reds can make a ton of money, they can be extremely difficult to coach, and we'll show you how to do that in the video inside Go 90 Grow. Very easy to get them to follow a system if you can explain to them that that's how they'll make more money, but we'll leave that for you, the video. Okay, so anyway, they all think they're Blues, okay? They think that the decisions that they've made for everybody is actually going to help others. Here's the thing, they love competition and recognition. Remember, yellows love recognition, but Reds love recognition and competition. So let's bang the six characteristics here. Their strength is taking initiative. So you can see why Reds are great leaders, just like you can see why yellows and blues are, and why you need all of them on your team if it's going to work. It's not a question of whether you're going to get all four colors. It's a whether a question. You talk in a language that they understand, so you're helping them draw their strengths into the team and at the same time eliminating their weaknesses. What's the weakness of a Red? They're impatient and insensitive. So when you're talking to them, be brief and to the point. On the other hand, if you're a Red and you're listening to this, you can see why being impatient and insensitive is going to blow the Blues out of the water. An expression that my wife and I have developed over the years is, you know, Reds are going to drive the deal, but Blues are the glue. Reds are going to drive the deal, but Blues are the glue. They're the ones that are going to hold everything together. So Reds have to be careful that they don't hurt Blues' feelings, okay, or yellows, who are also sort of sensitive, right? Loss of status hurts them. And so basically, this is a weakness of a Red. Their goal is productivity and control. Right. Reds and blues are control freaks. Whites and yellows, they don't want to be controlled. So strengths, again, taking initiative. Weakness is impatient and insensitive. You can see how that insensitivity is not a good matchup for yellows and blues. So you want to help them cover that weakness. The goal, productivity. If they're making progress, they're happy. Their biggest fear is being hustled. So never, ever, ever, even kidding around, exaggerate with a red. If your company's doing 39 million, don't say we're doing, you know, almost, we're doing about 40 million. They look it up and they see that $1 million difference. They're going to think they're getting hustled. So I always give them lower, a little bit lower numbers, okay? Their motivation is winning, man. They want to win. They don't, just don't want to be on stage. They want to win the contest. And their irritation, get this, is indecision. So can you see the value of learning these color codes so that they know what to say to a blue, okay? Blues are indecisive, and that irritates reds, okay? Reds are insensitive, okay? Blues are oversensitive, okay? Again, get to lazynetworkercolorcode.com and access the additional trainings inside Go 90 Grow so you become an expert, and your team will love picking this up as a currency. I got to tell you something. Once our team started talking in the language of each other, production went up by almost 300%. It was unbelievable. All right, let's hop into the whites. Whites are engineers, CPAs, and computer folks. They're fine working in a cubicle. Okay, again, this is a generalization, but you get the idea. They're all about facts and logic. Whites are not emotionally outwardly, so sometimes something really good happens and the white's not jumping up and down, and you think that they don't care. They do. They're logical. White's primary objective, their primary motive of a white is peace. So they're really cool under pressure. And sometimes that coolness can be mistaken for aloofness. I think if you think of Mr. Spock from Star Trek, that would sort of be an exaggerated version of a white. When you're talking to them as a prospect, they're going to ask for more information. And after you get them that, they're going to ask again and again and again. But they are going to do their own research, and they're going to join on their own research. Now, it can be a little frustrating because you can't really close a white, right? You can close a yellow, a blue, and a red. It's really hard to close a white. But what they will do, if you'll get them the information, they will set an appointment, and they will show up on time. Very respectful. Why? Because peace is motive for them. So be it. Be apprised of this. It's really important. When a white finally does join your team, they're going to stay for a long, 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 long time because they did their own research. You know, they don't just Google stuff. They go look at the sources that Google used, okay? Reds want to be right, and they need to be right, but whites will be right because they actually take the time rather than just push their way through. So reds, by contrast, while they're very logical, they need to be right, and they'll draw conclusions on fragments of information, whereas whites will actually spend the time to get it right, okay? So they're great people for organizing your group and the culture on your team. They spend much time thinking instead of just working. You know, they'll be focused on things like demographics instead of just going and talking to 10 people. And then they'll try to figure out the best prospect, you know, the best avatar to talk to, the best month to approach them, the best week of the month, the best day of the month, and the best time of day. Whereas our yellow will have already talked to 20 or 30 people. They're hard to get going, but if you get some whites on your team, they're going to stick. Why? Because they did their homework. And they know that they made the right decision. They're with the right company, okay? Again, you can't close them, but you can close them on the next appointment, and they will show up. So let's talk about some of these additional characteristics. And in the video, we'll show you how to get whites moving very quickly into production. Their strengths are planning and research, and that makes them great leaders. Because other people on the team, including you, if you're not a white, you can depend on them. They'll know the exact dates of the convention. They'll know all the hotels that are having discounts. They'll know everything about the product. They'll know where to find everything, and it's all incredibly organized. They're just great leaders because of that type of support that they offer. Their weakness, they're perfectionists, and oftentimes they're critical. They don't want to do anything until it's perfect. We say all the time on our teams, don't make the perfect the enemy of the good. That's a tough nut for a white to swallow. It needs to be perfect. So that obviously would make their goals the third of these six characteristics, accuracy and thoroughness. Their fear, criticism, okay? And reds can seem critical. It's just the way it is. And so can yellows to a certain degree. Not blues, though, okay? Their motivator, right, is peace, okay? It's peace. So you want, if you're emotional, like an emotional yellow, you know, or a really directive red, and you kind of raise your voice sometimes to get your point across, okay? It's not going to fly with a white. They're just going to shut down. What irritates them is unpredictability. Now, if you know that you're meeting with a white, be early. Don't just be on time. In other words, if you have a 2 o'clock appointment, you want to have everything out of your briefcase or whatever you carry your stuff in. You want to have everything out and on the table at 1:55. Okay, be ready to go 5 minutes ahead of time. All right, so let's just quickly review white strengths, planning, and research. Think that might help your team. Weakness, perfectionist. Goal, accuracy. What a great asset to the team. Fear, criticism. Motivator is peace, and irritation is unpredictability, and emotional, emoting. I don't like being emoted on, okay? Remember, of all the skills, and it's about a dozen skills you need to learn, the number one skill that'll build your business is not goals, not attitude, and not motivational material. What really builds your business is you being effective at step one. And once people join, step one is when we introduce people to what we're doing. And then when they join, you've got to communicate effectively with them. Okay. And you're not just going to be a whole lot better by virtue of knowing the language of each prospect. Once you've learned it, I referred earlier, that's something that MLMers know, and that is how to talk to all types of people in a language that they understand. And I'm going to prove to you that you've already started to pick this up, okay? Here's what I'm trying to convey to you in this very informal introduction to the colors, okay? Your color doesn't really matter. What matters is the color of the prospects that you're talking to, the color of your teammates, so that your message reaches their head, which would be, you should have figured out by now, whites and reds are logical, yellows and blues are emotional. So if you're talking in a language they understand, your message with a red or a white is going to reach their head, and with a blue or a yellow, it's going to touch their heart. So I know it seems like it's just sketchy here right now, but I'm sure you got the general idea. So let's do a little quiz. I'm going to give you a couple of characteristics, and you figure out what color it is. So we're going to say Sally, she's enthusiastic, she's popular, she's charming, she's stylish, she's very outgoing, she loves talking to people, and she's very trendy. What color would Sally be? Right, she's a yellow. Right, so Frankie, he seems kind of cool, not cold, but cool. He's distant, reserved, diplomatic, a little curious. He thinks before he speaks. He's concerned about being accurate. He might seem closed and unemotional. And becomes critical under criticism. What color do we have here? What kind of personality type? Yeah, exactly, a white. How about this one? Directing and dominating, take charge person, exudes power, demands progress, authority, confident, red, right? You got that one. See how good you're doing? It's a lot easier than you think. Okay, now this one. Quick, impulsive, always push for time, direct, blunt, straightforward, extremely competitive. You get red? Good. Okay, let's try one more. Really easy going. Steady. Consistent. Prefers routine. Accommodating. Willing. Comforting. Yeah, blues. We weren't going to leave the nice people, okay? So let me give you a couple of tips to identifying your prospect's color and so you can take a better guess at their language. Remember, this is the number one skill so we can talk the correct language so they understand us. Remember, when we ask them in a way that they understand, it'll dramatically increase the probability of getting the response that you want. A yes to looking at your business. A yes to a quick coffee where you can do HJ1, that's Hero Journey 1 inside Go 90 Grow. That's where they present to you. Or even over the phone or a screen share. So you're not going to be able to get prospects to go take the little quick quiz, which you need to take at lazynetworkercolorcode.com. These are what we call quick reads. Here's a couple of things that might help you, okay? So I'm going to ask people what they do for a living and what they like best about it, okay? Now, just so you'll know, the number one reason for job dissatisfaction in the United States is the wrong motive or personality type on a job. For example, a blue gets a job in customer service and they love helping other people and they're doing fantastic. They're doing great. They're helping customers. They're getting unbelievably great feedback on the reports that people do on customer service reps. They're helping the other customer service reps improve. They're sharing. They're kind. The customers love them. It's going great. So they get promoted. And now they have to be a boss, a manager, and they hate firing people. They hate being in charge. They don't want to be on the front line. They want to be in supportive roles, okay, which is critical to building teams that build teams without you. So now you have a blue who had the right job, and which was perfect for a blue, and then got promoted into a red job. The number one reason for job dissatisfaction is the wrong personality type in the wrong job. A yellow working in a cubicle all day long that can't engage with people around them. These are really easy people to recruit. So I'm going to find out what people like best about it. What do they do with their free time? Now, what I'm really listening for is whether they're talking about their feelings or they're giving me facts. If they're giving me facts, they're probably a white or a red. If they're talking about how they feel, you know, what do you like best about it? All of a sudden, ah, the money's pretty good. It's close to work. You know, it's probably a red. Okay. I just love working with the people. They're so nice. You know, it's just the kind of environment. I feel really welcome and honored there and everything. Well, you're probably talking to a blue. So I'm listening. Are they talking about facts or feelings with questions like, what do you do for a living? What do you like best? How long have you done it? What do you like to do with your free time? Okay. So listen, ask more questions and listen. What I'm looking for is, are they about facts or feelings? And do they make decisions quickly now or slowly? If they make decisions slowly, they're probably a blue or a white. Okay, whites are going to need to get all the information. Blues are indecisive. If they make decisions quickly, they're probably a yellow or a red. So it's pretty easy to start to narrow this down. So if they're talking about feelings and they're making decisions quickly, they're a yellow. If they're not talking about feelings, just facts, and they're making decisions quickly, they're a red, okay? If they think before they speak and they don't interrupt at all, reds and yellows will interrupt, they're probably a blue or a white. And if they're talking about the people that they work with on their job and why they like that, they're a blue. And if they're talking about the company benefits and so forth, they're probably a white. How do you know if someone makes decisions quickly? Well, listen to their language. Reds and yellows generally are a little quicker. They'll start talking if they don't interrupt, which they'll do. If they don't interrupt, the split second you're done, they'll start talking. They'll dialogue with you. Whereas when you complete a thought and you're waiting for a response, and there's a delay of a couple of seconds before they speak, it's a blue or a white. Okay, so one of the ways you can tell quick decision makers from slow decision makers is basically the way that they engage in conversation. Now, at this point, you're going to be right about half the time. This means that prospects will understand at least half of them what you're offering. That's going to be a huge improvement. So today, right away, start talking to people just to try to discover their color. Are they red? Are they blue? Are they white? Yellows, that's the easiest one to identify. Do not try to bring up the business. Just try to figure out what color they are. If you do this once a day, I can guarantee you, because I've seen it happen since 1996, if you talk to one person a day just to try to figure out their color in a grocery store, at your church, whatever, at your kid's soccer game, it's amazing what actually happens. You will realize how easy it is to talk to people once you know their language. And some of them you're just going to hit it off with. Develop the habit. It doesn't take much because it's fun. It's profitable. It's easy to find a color, one color for sure, that you've identified a day. This means that you'll have met 365 new people. Now, most people with a little practice can get up to about 50 to 60% accuracy on color. I'm going to tell you something. If you just try to identify color, you turn into a great listener. Don't try to be a great listener. Listen for color. Because if you do, you will accidentally sponsor two or three people a month, okay? It's not always easy to determine color. So if you do not know the color and you want to bring up the business, just guess and make a generic approach, right? But what if there was an even better way? Well, there is. There's an amazing way to zero in on someone's color with better than 85% accuracy once you've done it for a couple of months or two, and you'll find that one-page PDF document we've provided with will help you. So you just need to commit this to memory. It's just four things. So 1A, you have 1A and 1B, and then 2A and 2B. Now with 1A and B, 1A would be he or she usually reacts slowly or deliberately. And you know right now that they're probably a blue or a white. 1B is they react quickly and spontaneously. Again, more staccato speech, faster speaking, willing to interrupt, and so on and so forth. Now the 2s, 2A and 2B, pretty much work the same way. If he or she focuses primarily on ideas, concepts, and results, or they focus on person's interactions and feelings, okay? So, obviously, person's interactions and feelings would be a yellow or a blue, and the first group would be red or yellow. So, it's really simple. If you look at that worksheet, in your mind, if you've checked 1A and 2A, you got a white. 1A and 2B, you got a blue. 1B and 2A, you got a red, and 1B and 2B, you have a yellow. Now, whether you're inviting them to an opportunity meeting or a quick coffee or a screen share to show them a little bit about what you have, your version of step two when you actually show the business, with this skill, you're going to do dramatically better. You'll begin succeeding so often that you won't even notice the things that are not going your way. It's amazing. Once you're talking the language, your reps are going to do better, your teammates are going to do better, you're going to do better in your house. Make this the currency of communication with everybody. Remember our little story about the person, that went to Germany. Imagine if he knew that they didn't speak German and he brought a translator with him, okay? Here's another way to think of it. Think of about a person on a diet. If they're losing weight, they don't think about what they're not able to eat. You know, they get on the scale and they've lost a couple pounds. 2 days later, they get on the scale and lost a couple pounds. They don't think about what they can't eat. In other words, they're like happy to stay on the diet now. Oh, they're losing weight. They feel great and they can't wait to tell other people about it. The same experience is awaiting you in your network marketing business, okay? Because once you start getting more positive results, you don't care about the one or two that you guessed the wrong color or didn't go that way with. So let me give you a couple of quick tips about inviting people. And you see if you can figure out which color it is. Listen, Joanne, we're having a meeting at my house tomorrow night. And I invited my business partner over and I told him I have five people here and I only have three that promised they'd show up. Could you please come? I could just really use your support. It would be so important to me. And if you could bring some of those paper coffee cups that you have, I'd be so grateful. Right, well, obviously, we're inviting a blue, okay? A yellow. Hey, Jackie, there's a meeting tomorrow night, and it's going to be incredible. It's going to be so exciting. We're going to have so much fun. We're going to meet a lot of people, and I've actually told three or four of the top people about you that work in this area, and they want to meet you. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have the meeting, and then we're going to drink coffee and eat cookies. We're going to have a blast. The yellow's coming there. You say that to a red, and he's like, drop dead, okay? So who's this? What color would this be? Hey, Johnny, there's a meeting tomorrow night at my house, and we're going to be talking about money. Big, big money. The company's looking to identify one or two key people to take charge. And the first person I thought of was you. Here's your chance to be your own boss and get the recognition that you deserve. Red or white? Obviously red. So the white, hey, Frank, listen, it's Mark. Look, I just got involved in this business. And I'm having a few people over to my house. Someone's going to come and explain a little more detail. And I really want to know if I did the right thing. You know, I'm really thinking about committing some time to this over the next 2 years. But I really value your opinion. So could you bring a notebook? Because there's going to be a lot of information, facts, that I'd love you to break down for me. Nobody does it better than you. You know, the white's coming over. These invitations don't need to be perfect. They just need to be in a language that they understand. So, again, in the videos, we're going to go over a lot more, but let's talk about teammates. With the blues, how do you motivate teammates with motivational speeches? Nope, I haven't given a motivational speech since the late 90s, maybe 98. I stopped all that nonsense. What did I do? Instead, was talk to the core motive, which is what LazyNetworkerColorCode.com will reveal to you, your core motive and your teammates' core motives. So if it's a blue and I want to get them motivated, I'm going to talk to them about fundraising ideas around the product, promising a weekend at the spa where they can meet some other nice people and they can relax and go away with their husband or their wife, offering, a chance to reward them with something that's more intimate, right? Like a weekend away or money for a dinner so you can take the kids out and have a really good time, right? Because John's going for a prize. He's going for top recruiter and he could really use your support. That's going to motivate a blue. A yellow, you want to incentivize the events, okay? Incentivize the events. What does that mean? Listen, there's a event coming up here and I want you on stage. Okay, we just need to do better at one thing and I'm going to help you hands on. We need to do a little bit better with following up with new reps. You find so many people, you're so good at talking to people, compliment them, and basically I want you on stage. The company needs you on stage and people seeing you up there, man, they're just going to think of you as the best leader. Well, we know that yellow's, you know, status is important to them, okay? Reds are the easiest in the world to motivate. They literally have a button on their forehead, and you can push it anytime you want. So it's simple formula. One, compliment them. Two, give them another compliment. Three, challenge them to outdo somebody else. So it might go something like this. Hey, Rico, listen, I just wanted to give you an update. I was looking at the organization, and you know, it's pretty obvious you are incredibly gifted in this business. You're a great presenter. But I was looking at the sheets, and Jack, he's actually sponsored two more people than you this month, and there's a big prize at the end of the month, as you know, for Top Recruiter. I'm just not sure you're going to be able to keep that pace. Forget about it. The red's there. You've included money and recognition and winning. You got them. So whites, you want to use statistics that have a proven and predictable success rate. In other words, you find out when you enrolled them what the white really wants, and then you need to break that down into how many dials they need to make a day, and we're going to reach the right person 16% of the time, and we're going to get half of those people to agree to look at the business, and half of those are going to become customers, a third will become customers, a third will become distributors, and a third are going to say no. So we're going to break down the amount of dials per hour, and I talk to 16% of the people, right? It's really that simple. So use long-term statistical fact to motivate them. Look at, this is how it goes, right? Hey, Frank, you know, I know that you got in this business to shore up your retirement and that you're around $300,000 that you said you wanted to make up when you first enrolled here, right? So we're 20 years away from that. We can build about a $6,000 a month income, which will get you caught up and ahead within such and such a time. You just go over the numbers with them in terms of how it's going to create peace. And I would say get this done, and of course that's going to create a tremendous amount of peace. We'll actually draw this out for you in the video so it'll be a little clearer to you. So now you know it. You know the language of the prospect, and you can start leading simply by helping others make a course correction. It's really that simple. I promise that if you start talking to people just to discover their color, one per day, three great things will happen. One, at the end of the year, you'll have talked to 365 people. Okay, it'll be fun, comfortable, profitable, and by accident, you'll sponsor 20 to 30 people, and you'll make more money, you'll help more people, you'll have more fun. Okay, so then you can see what I'm doing is I'm talking to all colors, okay? And of course, that'll lead to peace across the board in your home, okay? The business just ends up being right for a few folks a month, and because you are relaxed and just listening, you know the language, and it just happens that you sponsor a couple of people a month. Two, you'll master this skill in a week. It's easy. If you get to lazynetworkercolorcode.com, really that simple, and get your teammates there. Okay, the test is free. Three, you're going to have some fun sharing it with your group and watching them communicate better. It helps them. It makes more money. Everybody has more fun when communication is better. And we've slayed the dragon here on this short audio. I hope you've enjoyed it. What's the dragon? Well, you know how everybody says it's all about relationships and they never say anything? Relationships live and die on communication, and you've just got the first step out of the way. These skills you are learning are integrated inside to in the Go 90 Grow members area, so you get a lot more detail, and we'll be happy to do a full-blown three-hour color code training for your team, so you can just contact us at go90grow@hawaii.rr.com. But in the meantime, you'll make a lot more money. You'll help a lot more people. You'll have a lot more fun, and you'll have a lot more peace in your group if you get to lazynetworkercolorcode.com, take the test, get your teammates to take it, and start talking in a language that they understand. Okay, peace be the journey.